Tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by Demico, Chrysler, Dodge Jeep, and Ram, serving the Finger Lakes since 1963. And DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Whoops, look at that. Got caught by the buzzer tonight. Man, got a little backed up as we were changing some of those screenshots so that we had all the right information out there for you with the right spellings. I'm Chris Marquardt. Joining me in studio tonight, we've got the one and only John Balmas. Good show tonight.
Yo.
We got ARDC New Egypt winner.
Yep.
PJ Gargiulo. Gonna be joining us here in about a half hour.
First time visitor to the show.
And usually it works the other way. We have them on the show, and then they go out and win. But, hey, you know, we'll take it this time.
I know it.
That's pretty cool. How hard was it to put that together? I mean, you've been...
Not hard. I'm friends with him on Facebook. Actually, Ty Garrell put a bug in his ear the other day, and Ty texted me and mentioned it. And I said, you know, that's a good idea.
Why not?
Let's do it. And
Well,
so PJ messaged me on Facebook, I think yesterday or a couple days
PJ
ago.
PJ messaged you.
Yeah.
ARDC
and said
guys
that Ty,
clamoring to be on the
Ty had mentioned it to him, and... I said, yeah, let's do it. I said, how about 7:45? Does that sound good? And
worked out good.
He said, that's perfect. His daughter goes to bed at 8, so she can watch Daddy.
Well, if he wants to back it up, we can back it up, too.
We're good.
All right. We're going to go with that. We've got plenty of racing action to touch base on. We've got the Sprint All-Star Race, which I'm sure you T-voted and watched three times, even though you didn't need to, because it's been on all week.
I did watch it. I'll be honest, it wasn't all that... thrilling, to be perfectly honest with you.
But plenty of local racing action, at least on Saturday. Friday was a bit of a washout.
Freaking Mother Nature will not cooperate,
especially on
Fridays.
No, Jesus. I mean, this weekend finally looks like everybody's going to get a break this weekend.
Well, I don't know. The weather's iffy again tomorrow.
I think.
There's something about Fridays.
Yes.
Yeah, man, I'm hoping.
Race on Wednesday. If you race Wednesday, you're fine. You're good.
Yeah, it seems like the middle of the week is always beautiful.
Weather was great today.
Yeah. Yep. Well, some areas. Well, some areas were getting hail. They're getting hail in Albany.
We got some storms this morning, but it wasn't anything major.
Yeah, we didn't really get anything. You know, there were times where it was cloudy, but then the sun come back out.
I'm sure it was raining someplace every day.
Oh, of the year. It's been crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Just pick your region.
Pretty much.
But Mike, I believe at some point is going to get the opportunity to conclude his baseball season. It'll be just in time for final exams and then racing to start up. So I don't anticipate seeing him again in the near future. But we do have the I'm trying to man the live chat in addition to doing everything on the production side of it. Looks like everything is working okay.
Well, that's good.
Anyway, it looks like Zoopy's already in there. It's starting to fill up. Got some people in there.
Nice.
So that's good.
We'll, welcome.
Try and juggle some of their questions and any of their commentary and discussion that's going on in the live chat. Where did you get off to this week? I mean, did you go to any tracks or not?
Yeah. So, of course, Saturday at Fonda I worked.
Fonda, that was quite the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. it was an interesting night. They had the CRSA sprints. And as many of you probably have already read on those who visit Dirt Track Digest and possibly Facebook or whatever, there were people going crazy because the surface was pretty rough.
Saturday. It was rough.
The week before, Maddie didn't really lay a lot of water to it because the forecast was really
spotty.
Iffy. Looked like it was probably going to get some rain, so it ended up they didn't get rain and ended up being very dry and dusty. And people were obviously not happy because it was really dusty and the racing wasn't all that great. And so then this past week, he didn't really saturate it, but he put a little more water into it this time, and then it ended up, you know, we had a lot of rain in the week, and it kind of, I think it really kind of saturated the clay where it kind of tore up with the sprint cars out there for whatever reason. Things just didn't work out, and the track was very, very rough on Saturday.
Stu Friesen showed how good a driver he is.
Yeah, his car was broke before halfway. I mean, I noticed it standing in turn four, man, in my gate, and he goes by one lap. It had to be, Jesus, maybe 10 laps in or so, somewhere in that area. And I'm looking, I'm like, Jesus, the left rear, it's way down. The body is way down on the left rear. I knew something was broke.
Torsion bar or torsion.
It wound up being a torsion bar, yeah. And he ended up winning the damn race with the car laying on the left rear.
Sure enough.
I don't know how he didn't cut the tire down.
And one of the tires went flat on the way to victory lane.
Yeah, and it was the right rear. It was the right rear. Not the left rear. Because you would think the left rear would have been cut.
You'd think.
And it wasn't.
You'd be led to think that. So, I mean, that was a heck of a race.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was an interesting night. And Maddie's been taking these last couple of weeks a lot of flack on the forums, such as Facebook and Dirt Track Digest. And I wish people would give him a little bit more of a break. I mean, seriously, this is only the fourth race he's ever promoted. You know? You're not going to learn everything in 1 week. There's a lot of trials and tribulations that you learn as a promoter as you go along. I mean, there's promoters been doing it for 20-some years, and they're still learning every day.
And they're still taking a beating.
Yeah.
Because
so, you know, a lot of people were bitching because of the track, obviously, was rough, and rightly so. It was rough. It was a rough track. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But then it also turned into a long night because of that.
Mm.
So, again, people are complaining because it was, you know, it's midnight, and we're getting out of there. And obviously, so Matty realizes that he's got some homework to do to get us out of there at a more timely fashion. Obviously, Mother Nature is not helping him when it comes to learning track prep.
No.
Because you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You're really, when you get rain all week.
How high was the river?
It's tough. I tell you, it was hot. Honest to God, you can ask my wife all the way down to Fonda Saturday. She was driving, and I'm looking, because, you know, the thruway runs all the way along the Mohawk River all the way to Fonda, and everywhere I looked, the river was really, really high.
Yep.
Extremely high. And I took note of that. I'm like, Jesus, this, because, you know, growing up around the Mohawk River my whole life, I take notice of that, and it was high.
Yeah.
So you could tell we had a lot of rain.
I mean, that moisture, you know? All that moisture is coming back up through the
track. Yeah, the ground's going to be wet.
Already in there.
And unfortunately, when you put those kind of cars out there, especially sprint cars, it just, boy, it took its toll.
If the sprint cars weren't there, how would the track
have
been?
You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm thinking it probably still would have been rough because, you know, the big blocks are still going to tear it up some.
Right.
But I don't know that it would have been as bad.
Sure.
But then again, you know, maybe it would have been because, again, I keep saying sprint cars were there. They were. They use a bigger right rear. But it was only the 305, so you're not talking, you know, it wasn't a 410 where there's a lot of horsepower to, you know, being put to the ground and what really, really tears it up. So, you know, just all in all, everything, with all the racing that was on the track Saturday, with all the other class, the normal classes plus the sprints, it just, and then all the rain, it really took its toll. So, you know, hopefully this week things will be better and more normal like it should be. Because we got the SS Sprinters there this Saturday.
Right.
Along with the, you know, it's Lula, the Lulazero Memorial Night.
Mm-hmm.
It's 44 laps. $4,444.44 to win for the modified race. And then we got ESS Sprints there to boot.
Sure.
So, you know, it's going to be a big, big night this weekend. And I hope the weather cooperates and hopefully the track will be more what we expect. Maddie will be racing. So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he's going to put everything he has into it. Not that he wouldn't anyway, but.
Careful.
Yeah. No,
just stop.
He's looking forward to finally getting behind the seat at his racetrack now.
I'm sure he's anxious to do that. You know, it's gonna be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Certainly gonna be fun to watch that.
Yeah.
Yates County Speedway, formerly known as Black Rock and Dundee, they rained out Friday. It looked like the rain may actually subside, but with all the flooding and all the carnage that happened in Penyan, they elected to just kind of take the night off and reconvene.
Yep.
The following week. So they're going to be racing again this weekend. And then a couple weeks from now, they've got the makeup for that
Northeastern the RLC show.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's coming up there. But
is it June 3rd?
I think so. Right? I think it's two. Might be
something like that.
Might be a week removed from tomorrow.
Right.
We leave for Ohio in the morning. Albany, Saratoga rained out. Brewerton rained out. But Brewerton, if you're looking for some place to go on Friday.
Jesus, those poor bastards.
If you're looking for some place to go on Friday, go to Brewerton.
They can't catch a break.
Double modifies tomorrow.
Yes.
You know.
I was actually thinking about going. If the weather cooperates, I think I might go because it's a good deal.
I really think it's going to be fine.
For $12, you get two modified features.
How can you go wrong?
Yeah.
You can open up with the held over feature, then go right into the evening's card.
Yep.
And boy, you're right though. That's a track to camp.
Oh, can't they catch just a break. Can't. Friday tracks in general in this region can't catch a break.
I haven't heard anything from Spencer.
I seem to remember seeing something about them raining out, but I'm not. Don't quote me on that.
I haven't seen anything.
I know Big Diamond did.
Big Diamond washed out. The Cartway that we alluded to last week in Oswego,
yeah,
they got held over again. So they're going to be trying it again tomorrow.
Believe it or not, Williams Grove got their show on Friday.
Really?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Darren Pittman won. Swept the weekend, won Friday and Saturday, and then he won again Sunday at Orange County, and he won Tuesday at New Egypt. He swept this whole northeast swing.
Not bad.
Four nights in a row. He's working on five in a row tomorrow at Charlotte.
Yeah.
Dude's on a roll.
Are you? Is that far enough north where you can count that as part of the northern swing?
I think they kind of do count it do as they? Far as dirt car goes, but I don't really count it. I don't know. This is east. That's not.
Right.
Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm sorry. It's not east.
Thunder Mountain got in.
Yes. On Tuesday, we were there.
73 modified.
73 mods.
Can you believe that?
Yep.
Congratulations, Brett. Good job.
What a show. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. I know, again, Brett's another one. I've been taking a little bit of a beating these last couple days because of it was very dusty. We were covered. I mean,
covered. Have you seen any pictures on Facebook? Yeah.
Yeah. We were covered. There's no two ways about it. Brett knows that, you know, the dust was a problem and he realizes it. And it was unfortunate. But you know what? I've said this a million times on here. When I go to the Southern Tier region, nothing against those tracks because I love the racing at those tracks, all of them down there. Mm-hmm. And that's why I go. I go for the racing, but I know and I plan on, I expect to be blasted with dirt. That's just the way it is. It's always been like that there and it probably always will be. And that doesn't bother me because I go with that mindset. I know I'm going to get dirty. You know, I'm not going to go in there and be shocked because I got dusty. So what? It is what it is. You know, as long as the racing is good, and the racing was pretty decent on Tuesday night. So
that's,
it didn't bother me at all.
You know, I mean, where are we as fans when we're getting upset about getting a little dirty?
It's a dirt track. What the hell do you expect?
You saw the picture. I don't know if you saw. I think it was one of the Guerreros posted a picture and like their car had that much dust.
Yeah, I did see it.
It was.
And
it
I know was, what our car looked dusty. Like, too.
Yeah. How thick was it? I mean,
it was dirty.
Yeah.
You should have seen us. Never mind the cars. The people that are sitting in the stands, because obviously the cars are a distance away.
Yeah, but you take a regular bath every Saturday. Covered. I mean, that's not that's not that big of a deal.
It was, wow. I mean, it was really, really dusty.
Yeah.
But again, it didn't bother me. To be honest, we sat there, and every time we'd look at each other, and you're covered in dirt, you just laughed. It was, you got to make the most of it.
That's right.
It is what it is. Enjoy yourself. Be glad that you're there, you know, because it actually sprinkled for a while.
Right.
And that's what made it worse. As a fan sitting there getting covered in the dust, as the dust is blowing on you, now it's sprinkling, and that's what really made it a mess. Because now, as it drops on your head and on your body, it's starting to turn into mud, you know? And that made it even look worse on people because of the sprinkles.
Yeah.
As opposed to, because now it's getting wet. You can't just blow it off or wipe it off.
Right.
Now it's turning to mud. It just goes ugh, and streaks all over. So you can't do anything with it.
Right. You're completely.
It made us laugh. I thought cornered. It was funny. But I know a lot of people were just lit right up the next day because they got so dusty, and it's a dirt track.
I understand sometimes some of the people that get upset about a dusty track. I do, because I'll give a prime example at Rolling Wheels. It drags the show out, for one, because when you go down off into turn one, the first five cars through the corner, they're fine.
Yep.
Everybody behind them is going through that corner at 6 miles an hour trying to not run over anybody. And then once they get strung out, now it's not that great of a race. And once they get strung out, there's a constant curtain of dust coming. You can't see the track anymore.
Right.
So I get that. I get that angle. I mean, I'm not gonna say that everybody's just complaining and whining, but at the same time, the guys that are putting the tracks together, they're doing the best they can to give you the best racing service. They're planning for a multitude of different variables, and sometimes it goes over well.
Sometimes you don't nail it.
RTC said it felt like cement in the live chat. Somebody said it felt like cement.
It's all good.
That's rough.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. It is what it is. Suck it up. Pull up the big boy panties and just enjoy the race. Enjoy yourself and be glad that they're actually racing and it's not yeah. rained out.
At least it didn't get nixed. That would have been the worst if they got through.
Oh, with the field ad? Jesus. Because you wouldn't have gotten them. Because the rain date was the next day, you wouldn't have gotten them all back.
No, I don't think so. I don't think all those guys would have been able to, you know, stay over.
Right. You know? I mean, we had two guys from Delaware. Matt Jester and Scott Van Gorder were both there from Delaware. And they're like a 6+ hour haul.
Jeez. That's cool, though. I mean, that's great that they came.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
You know what's funny, though? Because we're sitting there in the stands and we're talking and. Yeah, 73 cars there, and then they think about the ones. You always think about the ones that didn't show up.
Right, yeah.
It's like, how was it? Like, I knew Jimmy Davis was supposed to be there.
He wasn't.
And he wasn't. He wasn't there. He posted, you know, months ago that he was going to follow Brett's series, and he also put last week on his Facebook page their schedule for the upcoming week, and Thunder Mountain was included. But for whatever reason, he wasn't there. Larry White wasn't there, but Pat and Billy were. No Ryan Godown. There were a few names you could think of that weren't there, and it's like all the cars that are there, but you still think about people that weren't, you know?
You know who was there?
Because you think everybody was there. Most everybody was.
You know who was there?
I do know who was there.
Matt Shepard.
Matt Shepard was there.
First race with Brett Dale comes away with a win there.
Yeah.
At Lightning on the Mountain.
Led every lap. Got the lap money and everything.
Pretty impressive.
Yep. But you know, when you if you weren't there and you looked,
I thought he ran one of Brett's shows earlier this year. Maybe not.
No, he won that 5 mile point RLC makeup show from last year in Norm's car back in April.
But that wasn't one of Brett's.
No. Nope. If you looked at the rundown or the race report. And you weren't there, and you saw that Matt started on front row, whatever, and led every lap. And you look at it, and you think, oh, it was a boring race, uncontested. He was under severe pressure by Chad Cook the entire race.
No Jerry Higbee, no Jimmy Phelps either.
No Jimmy Phelps, no Jerry Higbee. Yeah, no Billy Pouch. I mean, like I said, you could think of several names that weren't there, but there were a lot that were.
It's conceivable. You could have had 80 car field.
Yeah.
You know, if a couple of these other guys showed up.
Right.
Wouldn't have taken much. Wow.
I mean, it was good for him. It was amazing that 73 cars showed up on a weeknight.
Yeah, no kidding.
At a track that
how many
90%
heats?
Of them had never been to.
I didn't even look at, yeah, I know. That was just as impressive as well, you know, quality racing front to back. But what I didn't look at was heat winners. How many heats they ended up rolling off for 73 cars?
Eight
heats?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, eight heats. And then they had 27, I think, sportsmen.
It's not bad either.
No. I think the sportsman, for me, I think the count was a little down than what I expected. But probably, if anything, it was probably kind of a godsend. Not that Brett wants to hear that, but it was probably kind of a godsend because, you know, if 50 sportsmen show up, holy crap, you know, on a weeknight with 73 mods, that's a lot to do.
How do you not come under fire for having a long show, but at the same time, even if everybody races clean and you put the yellow flag and the red flag away all night? You still can't get through that. I mean,
right.
You got to run.
It's a lot of racing to do.
You got
to
run eight modified heats and what, five? If you get that many sportsmen, five sportsmen heats by itself.
Right.
How many mod consies at that point? If you run
they
eight
had four.
Heats, four consies.
Yes. And they took the winner.
I would think.
And then he had that dash where the four second place finishers from the consie ran a dash and the winner goes in last.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, that's a neat touch.
Yep. Yeah, so I mean, some of those guys had three chances to qualify.
We got about 10 minutes before ARDC winner PJ Gargiulo.
Yes,
I'm trying so hard to say that right. After I was looking at it misspelled all day, I've got to get the misspelling out of my head and do it the right way.
It took me a little while to learn it a couple years ago too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd be remiss to miss these guys at Fonda. Luke Horning, one of the pro stocks, Neil Kostelman with street stocks, kind of hauling back in the four cylinder. CSRA sprints were there. Was that Josh
Panizic?
Yeah, he won. And then who won the sportsman race?
Oh, geez. He had to ask me now. I don't remember. I don't remember.
McAuliffe?
You know what? I think it was. Yes. Johnny McAuliffe was. Yep. Yeah.
So he won the sportsman race. We talked about Thunder Mountain. Those guys, I still can't get over 73 cars. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Matt, Billy Decker rallying to pick up a win at Fulton a week after destroying his car. So, I mean, that crew did some work during the week. He picked up the win. Chris Heil was second. Rob Humphreys took home the Sportsman win. AJ Kingsley in the late models. I'm loving what he's doing in the late model, man. You know, really, after watching him bounce around from a couple different divisions, he's really found some footing in the late model cars.
Speaking of late models, you see the winner of the Gold Nuclear Late Model Series, Eventic, Utica Rome Sunday, was Tim Sears Jr., and he got DQ'd like 2 days later.
For what?
Something to do with the head gasket.
The head gasket?
Head gasket or something was, I don't know, it was tampered with something. I'm not even sure. I saw
go nuclears. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday. Crate engines, and those are sealed engines.
Crate, and you're not supposed to touch them.
And if the seal's tampered with, yeah, man, you're simple.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was something to do with the seal had been tampered or whatever, and like it had been taken apart when it wasn't supposed to be.
Well, that's a problem.
Or something along them lines,
right?
Or it was something to do with it. It was rebuilt or something, but it was not built by someone who is registered.
If it wasn't somebody who could reseal the engine and was certified,
right,
that could be an
right
issue
too. That might have been the case.
You know, if it was basically if that seal's broken, it's opened up and worked on. It needs to be resealed. And if it's
right,
not
but
resealed,
but it's got to be done by the right person.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah, he ended up being DQ'd, but it was a couple days after the race.
That's rough.
Yeah,
that's rough.
yeah,
but they got the whole card in over there at Fulton. Rob Humphreys and the Sportsman, Kyle Klein and the Novice Sportsman, Joe Isabel and the Mod Lights, John Cunningham in the Sprints, and David Inova in the four cylinders. Matt Billings comes away with the win in his it's his first win at Canandaigua Motorsports Park.
Yep,
that was good for him. Steve Gray, good win for him. Tough break for Nick Guerrieri. Coming off of turn four, checkers coming to the line and it breaks.
I saw Nick's post on Facebook like the next day, and he was just you could tell he was heartbroken. I feel bad for
that
him.
That was the deal.
Unfortunately, it's racing, I guess.
Let's see. I got some notes coming in here on live chat. Here, I'm going to cut to you
okay,
so I can get closer because I can't see this. Let's see. It was the issue was the seal bolts. It wasn't resealed by a certified repair. So that was the issue. 5 mile point PJ Goodwin. Was a rookie. It was his first career win, first 20 laps. And then Brian Weaver won the regular scheduled show. So that brings Brian Weaver. I saw his post on Facebook. That brings Brian Weaver. He's now got 24 consecutive
seasons, right?
seasons with at least one win.
I saw that.
That's Ricky Rudd-esque success right there.
Yeah, because he was saying he was glad to get it out of the way now because last year
he took it all the way to August. Yeah, he went a long way into the season. And that's got to be one of the longest streaks that's going. I mean, look at some of the talent that have come through in the last 25 years. How many guys can
Yeah, I mean, you think about the guys that have actually got a streak like that on the line. You're looking at guys that have been around forever. You're looking at guys like Brad or Billy or Danny, Allen. These guys have all seemingly won at least one race every year for, it seems like, my entire life, you know?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy when you actually stop and think about it.
And I almost want to say it was within the last 5-6 years. Allen Johnson at one point had a winless season. So that ended his
streak. He might have.
And Dirt made a little bit of a big deal about that. And so that's, you know, it's still exciting for him to go that long through.
It is.
John Preston won the 305 race street stocks. Pete Stefanski won that over Steve Pisarek. Steve Pisarek ran second in that race. That was good to see. Brad Rathburn took home the pure stock win. Novice Sportsman Tim Baker. I think we covered all those local tracks now. I think we've covered pretty much everybody.
One thing I want to throw out there too.
Oh.
You got something?
Yeah, I forgot. The 358 Tour opened this weekend. Mario Clare won Cornwall.
Yes, Cornwall. And then
Danny Johnson won
Maryville.
Monday at Maryville.
Yep. Yep. They did. I talked to Matty DiLorenzo on the way here.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get the lowdown on, because, you know, we got done late Saturday night, so I didn't really spend a lot of time chatting because, you know, I got an hour and a half drive home after we're done. So I called him tonight on the way here to see, you know, how the whole tailgating thing was as far as number-wise. Because from what my vantage point standing in turn four, I can't really see how many cars are over there very well.
Right.
So I asked him how many cars he had in the infield and stuff, and he said there was like around 40 vehicles parked over there. And obviously, you got to figure there's, you know, two or three at least per vehicle, people probably. So it was a decent, for the first time doing it, I think it turned out to be fairly decent.
What'd you learn?
I did learn that you can't
keeping everybody.
You can't trust the people know enough to not carry their beer from the infield into the pit area.
It's like herding squirrels, huh?
That is being worked on as we speak. He's going to do things a little different because one thing that he's finding out too, you know, you go on Dirt Track Digest and a lot of people are complaining on there that we're at Fonda Saturday, that we're sitting in the stands. There's people complaining about the visibility.
Right.
Because there's cars or trucks or whatever in the infield. Me personally, I wasn't up there, but I remember the days when it was a full pit area, and it's nothing like when it was a full pit area. So I know it's not that bad, but people got to be dramatic. And
it's not that bad, but
you know,
if you're looking for something, something to complain about and you're okay with the track surface, complain about the infield. Is that what you're saying?
Right. So what he's doing, because they're tailgating again this Saturday, and what he's going to do, he's going to try to keep everybody kind of corralled over towards turn two to try to keep the backstretch open as much as he can.
Sure.
To help prevent the whole visibility issue.
I mean, how far away are we from having to build a wall? And infield with the big chain link fence and everything, like, you know, basically turn the infield into a fortress so that everybody in there stays safe. They stay corralled. They don't go anyplace. And then everybody starts complaining because on the infield you can't see.
Right.
You're right back to where you were before you started the tailgating thing.
Yep.
I'm like, come on.
I know. Suck it up. You know, you got to make the experience for the fans as great as possible. And if that means giving up a little bit as far as maybe some people's vantage point from the stands to give their people who want a better experience maybe to sit in the infield, you just got to suck it up.
One person. It all takes is one person to be a sounding board. And they'll gather some followers.
To please one person and maybe not please 200 others, it just doesn't make sense.
We've talked about Matt's efforts. I mean, it's his first year. He's trying new stuff. He's trying.
Yep.
I'm giving him credit. I'm giving him credit. I'm giving him a pass on it. He's trying.
Yeah.
He's trying.
Again,
to,
it's his
and
fourth
the thing
race.
And on top of that, he's taking the suggestions that he's seen out there.
Yes,
and
he
about.
Is.
He's implementing those.
Yep.
And then on top of that, he's taking the immediate suggestions and saying, okay, we can't see that great. He's not just throwing it in the towel and saying, we're done with it.
Right.
He's saying, we're going to push everybody off to turn two.
Right.
That's going to limit some of the crossover. That's going to limit some of the obstructions. Let's try this and see what happens. He's trying. He gets a pass.
Absolutely.
I don't think we need to come down on him too hard.
No. And
I don't think.
With the special night being Lou Lazzaro Memorial Night.
And he's got Lou Lazzaro Memorial Night.
You know, you got ESS
Did he ever
Sprint.
Decide, is he going to give away a special award for the oldest Lou Lazzaro apparel?
I don't know.
Is he?
I don't know. He didn't mention anything. But he's doing the same deal for the tailgating this weekend that he did last week, which I think it's a great deal. Because last week we had a regular show plus CRSA Sprints.
Right.
And it was $20 per person in the car and $10 for the car itself to go in the tailgate in the infield. That includes a pit pass and everything.
$20 per person plus $10.
Plus $10 for the car you're driving in. It's the same deal this week.
So if it's four people, it's $25 ahead.
Yeah.
Or less, yeah.
$22.50 ahead.
That's why
if you all split for the car. Yeah. And you get a pit pass.
You just don't bring your beer into the pits.
Right. So this weekend, now instead of CRSA, which are 305 sprint cars, we got ESS. Those are 360s. And the modified race is 44 laps, $4,400 to win.
And the price
you would think
change.
The price would go up, but it didn't. It's exactly the same.
Good.
Plus, the grandstands, it's only $14 to get in. $14. That's a hell of a deal.
It is.
If you're wearing a Lou Lazzaro apparel, shirt or hat or whatever, $4 off. That's $10.
How can you go wrong?
$10. And military personnel. If you have a military ID, veteran or active, former or active duty, free.
I was at Mid Lakes Middle School today in Jeff Ball's history class, 7th and 8th graders. And he read the Medal of Honor citation given to the two sergeants that went down in Somalia during the what ultimately became the Black Hawk Down movie. And then after that, he aired the on demand playing of Dakota Meyers' Medal of Honor ceremony and where President Obama read about his acts of valor, and somehow he survived. He nice. Lived. He lived to get this Medal of Honor. And something I didn't know about the Medal of Honor was that if Dakota was walking down the sidewalk and Dwight Eisenhower was walking the other way, four-star general, Dwight Eisenhower is the first one that has to salute Dakota. It's right. The highest rank that you can get is that Medal of Honor. And nice. That was and some of the kids didn't pay attention, and it really bothered me. Boy, those were some intense citations, and it was pretty cool to see that. And a lot of people need to go check that stuff out to really get more of an appreciation for what some of those guys have gone through.
Yeah,
and
a lot of them,
their stories go untold. You don't know what transpired that resulted in them paying an ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. And that's what this weekend's all about.
And those who, the things that they carry with them the rest of their lives.
Oh yeah.
Things they saw or did. And
yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to need some support this weekend.
Sure. So yeah, all military get in free this weekend. And also I clarified this with Matt on the way here when I was talking to him about the military thing, because they get in free, and I wanted to clarify what happens if they want to go in the tailgate. He said they get in free in the tailgate section, they just don't get the pit access. But still, you get in the infield for free. I mean, saves you $20 if you want to do it.
It's not bad.
You know?
Not bad. Saturday night, Canandaigua Motorsports Park, the first demolition derby of the year. I just had the most message posted in the live chat, and we were told we got to pay attention to live chat. We're paying attention to now demolition derby Saturday, and I know you're excited about that. Canandaigua Motorsports. Brian Simple's putting that on.
Smash and crash.
Busy weekend. We got to get a hold of PJ here.
PJ.
D'Amico Chrysler Dodge Jeep, make sure you check those guys out. We wouldn't be able to do this show without them.
That's right.
We're powered by D'Amico Chrysler Dodge Jeep. We're going to give that caravan a workout this weekend when we take it all the way to Washington Courthouse.
Where are you going, Ohio?
Yeah, Washington Courthouse, Ohio. So we're excited about that. Get over there, say hi to those guys. I needed a hub in my Avenger. Had the car back in less than 24 hours. When I outgrew the Avenger, they put me into this 2013 caravan, and I'm absolutely in love with this thing. They are the best. Get over there. Say hi to Patrick in the shop. Shake hands with Steve Riffle, Mike Godkin, Michael D'Amico in the showroom. Full service parts department. All the repairs you could ask for. Guaranteed best deal in getting you into a new Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, or Jeep. Any praise quote from any other dealer, and those guys are going to match it guaranteed. They are online at www.D'AmicoChryslerDodgeJeep.com. You can call the shop at 855-261-3035. The store opens daily Monday to Saturday at 8:30. So we're going to get PJ on the line. We're going to have a little bit of conversation about the about the Sprint All-Star Race when we get done with PJ. We're also going to talk about the busy weekend ahead with Indy and the Belmont. But first, let's get PJ on the line. And
right.
John, I mean, you've been waiting for this all day or what?
I'm always excited to come here and hang out with you, Chris.
I was more talking about the...
I know what you mean. Anytime we get to talk about midget racing, I'm happy. Midget racing, wingless racing in general. Let's go.
Sounds good to me.
Eastern Storm's coming up here soon.
You going to all those?
I don't know what I'm going to get to. Maybe one. I'm not sure. Who knows? I got so much going on now. Got a lot of places to be, it seems like, every time you turn around. So maybe we can get to one or two. Who knows? We'll see. But I'm sure it'll be a good week. I always look forward to, if I can't be there, at least seeing highlights and stuff. It's always a fun week in PA. Looks like we got them on the line. PJ Gargiulo, welcome to the show, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you guys making out?
Good. Hanging in there. Congrats on the win. You won Saturday night at New Egypt, the ARDC race, which was race number 2, if I'm not mistaken. I know it should have been race number 4, but you guys lost two shows to the weather, of course. Mother Nature has not been kind this early season. But race number 2 in the books. You won one. You got a win out of the way quick. Does that make you feel good?
You have no idea. We've been, the last several years, we've been really good a lot of places and just haven't been able to finish it off. So this is my first win actually since 2008. So we've had a 6-year drought.
Congratulations on that.
I got to tell you, when you run that many races and are close, you start kind of wondering about yourself. Pick one up. So. Definitely really just thrilled to get back in victory lane and to get one this early in the year. It's a big chunk off of our back and we can kind of bury down and focus on the rest of the year. And when you can kind of calm yourself like that, and takes some of that pressure off. Racing just gets a lot easier when you don't have that pressure of when are we going to get one.
So to have
that one out this early is great. And we actually started the year with some ignition issues that we dropped out of the first race, and we didn't find the problem until about 4 or 5 days before we went to New Egypt this last race. So we kind of feel fortunate that things happened the way that they did. Everything happens for a reason. So those two rainouts really helped us in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask you, you talked about the ignition problem, and you say you found it just a few days prior to Saturday's race at New Egypt. Now, I was under the impression there was another issue that was actually a little bit more major. You want to tell me about the green eyewear that you discovered in your trailer?
The goggles. Yeah, most people who actually know me even partially well know that I have like a real sickness about the whole green thing, which is really old school superstition, which I think any true racer kind of has that in the back of their mind, whether they admit it or not.
Steve Payne does too.
I have a legitimate sickness about it. I should really go to therapy. one of the things in the off season was just we needed to get ourselves more organized. So I organized a shop, and I was redoing a trailer the other week, and literally right before we went down to Bridgeport to test the car, and I was digging out, I was like, what the heck is all this crap in here? I pulled out this Tupperware bin, and I opened it up, and there's a big pair of green sunglasses in there, like protective goggles. And it's been in there for at least 4 years.
Because
the guy that we got them from had passed away, and it was one of the things before he left it, here, take a bunch of the stuff you're going to need. It's like earplugs and stuff that
right.
used to follow the Outlaws all the time. So we just grabbed it and threw it in there. We never even looked what was inside. So I said, you got to be kidding me. The heck are these things doing in here? So I threw them out, and 2 nights later, we actually identified the issue, and the car felt really good. And lo and behold, first race back, we win. So people can call me crazy all they want. When you have something that clear happen, it's just kind of funny how that works out.
But. See, wow. It wasn't an ignition problem then. It was a goggle problem.
Right. It's all about organization. If I was organized and prepared early enough, I would have found it 6 years ago. It's crazy because I've been trying to really, like, you know, get over the whole green thing. And I've been trying to just accept, you know, because deep down I know it's not really anything.
Right.
I'm not that crazy.
Well, after this, you're stuck with it forever now.
Yeah, are you sure that it's not anything?
Yeah, if someone comes in there with a bright green shirt, I got a real problem with that. I'm not real hip to people showing up on race day in my pit with green. And I don't think that'll ever change.
Yeah.
But I used to, like, when we bought our house, my wife really liked this this couch set and all that we had, and it was green. I'm like, I don't know about that. So we ended up buying it because I'm not going to, you know, make my wife upset. But I won't sit on the couch on race day. I won't go near it. I step over the floor mat. I touch something green. I wash my hands. I'm screwed up.
Well, I don't know if this is going to matter or not. I hope we don't jinx you, but Chris is wearing a green Boston Red Sox hat right now.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, it's not race day. That's the thing.
All right.
People think that
that's good.
Don't like green. I like the color green. I got green clothes. I got a green hat.
Just not race day.
Nowhere near me on race day. On race day. I don't need it in the car or around the car. Funny, in Victory Lane on Saturday, there's a bunch of kids came running up. One kid had green jogging pants. The other one had a green hat on. Like, oh, I don't really want to do the car. We threw him in the car and took a bunch of pictures.
How do you feel about peanuts around race cars?
Yeah, because that's the other superstition.
And that's the other old one.
Yeah.
All those things, man. the peanuts, the green, I'm not real big on that either. To be honest, it's not as bad as like it is with the green. Like, I am really screwed up about the green. It really bothered me as much. Like, I got some friends that really freak out about it. But
wow.
I helped out a friend of mine in Jasper, Florida with a go-kart race, a WK Speedway pavement race down in Florida. And the whole way down there, we're shooting a...
You could say it.
Stuff, and we hit a deer. So, I mean, and just barely nicked him, but we hit a deer. So we got that fixed. The truck was fine. We go down a little bit longer. We blow a tire out. I said, man, you guys are like, you got to have something in that trailer that's spooking us, right? I'm alluding to the whole green thing. We get down there, they run qualifying, they set fast time, the other guy is somewhere top five or something like that. But we have all kinds of stupid problems in the races, and these guys are all dropping out. Here, I look over at his father. His father's sitting in a green chair eating a bag of peanuts.
Oh my God.
We drove 20 hours down here, and he would come down here with peanuts in the green chair. peanuts into the woods. And then the next day, he set fast time and won the event. I said, I'm telling you guys.
Oh, my God.
It's like that beer commercial. It's only crazy if it doesn't work. Everyone thinks I'm nuts. But
yeah, that's right. The commercial with the dudes in the stands.
Everything's okay.
I want to watch my team win, but every time I go to the basement, they score a touchdown.
Right, exactly. Can't go down there.
Oh, that is too funny,
man.
In all honesty, though, I mean, I think that the deal coming out of the box this good right now really has a lot to do with kind of reevaluating ourselves at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Up until we got to the Esslinger, we had like weekly motor issues. Like we'd spin a bearing and then we'd break a push rod and we'd always have some sort of crazy thing. So, you know, updating our equipment with stage one, we started with the engine and we slowly kind of pieced things together, but we never really, it was kind of like we halfway did this and we spent some money here to make sure that this is right, but we halfway did something else. And in the off season, it was really a matter of, all right, let's just regroup here for a while. Let's take a month and a half off. We didn't really start till like the middle of January. So we took some time off, didn't even look at the car until after Tulsa.
Yeah.
Which I didn't go to, and she was just throwing on my side. But I watched the race, and you know what, I want to get back out there. And we just reassessed our entire program.
Yeah.
And a lot of it came down to when we get to the racetrack, the car's got to be 100% ready. Like, it can't be, well, we'll finish that up when we get to the track. We'll finish that up. And
right.
We even get to a point now where we heat the engine at the house.
Yeah.
So, we get that engine up to 180 degrees. Once it hits 180, we roll it in the trailer, we go. We're at the track a half hour early. We plug the heater right back in, and the car is just ready to go.
Right.
So I can focus on what I'm doing. My dad can focus on what he needs to do. And I actually scheduled out this year, when the schedule came out, all my old karting buddies that aren't racing anymore, some of them aren't, wherever they are locationally, I reached out to them and said, hey, here's the date. So we're going to be at Big Diamond. Here's where we're going to be at New Egypt. I need your help.
Yep.
But I even did a support structure, so I know when we get there, I'm going to have my normal crew and a runner to do whatever we need them to do just in case.
Right, right.
So when I'm at the track now, it's just the pressure and the anxiety of anything else that's going to go on or potentially happen isn't there.
Everything
in the trailer is ready to bolt on the car, measure the toe set, the brakes are bled out, everything in the trailer can go right on the car and be race ready.
Right.
And that's just a huge, huge advantage. And like I said, I'm really happy that we got the first win, our first win pretty early in the season.
It takes a load of pressure off.
We can have a really good year.
Yep. Well, that's good.
So on the topic of that superstition stuff, now that you got rid of the green glasses and nobody showed up in a green chair eating peanuts, are you superstitious enough to where you only walk around the car one direction? I've known a couple of drivers who will only walk around the car
one direction,
one way. They won't go the other way because the race car is designed to go left, so you walk around the car
for
going around to the left side.
No, that's interesting. That's something I could see me doing, but I've never actually done that.
Give it some thought.
Every driver has kind of a ritual of how they get dressed and how they kind of get in the car and what they like to do. But it's, again, there's a certain time there when you start having the number of sequence of problems that we had had.
Yeah.
You almost forget about some of that. All right, let's just get dressed because I don't have time to worry about if I'm going around the car the right way.
Right. but it's funny when you start winning, you look at it the opposite way, and then you start doing everything exactly the same every time.
the other kind of funny thing is when we went out to that practice at Bridgeport, I broke a power steering line. It busted off. I didn't have a clamp on it tight enough or something stupid. And so I'm covered in power steering fluid. My gloves are, like, just caked in oil. So I'm not going to wear these things in New Egypt, and I pull out my old pair. The last time I wore those pairs was when I won 6 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Kidding.
Now you're going to wear these things every night.
Oh, that is funny. Drivers are fickle people.
Yeah, we are a weird group of people, man. It's, people say about racing being a terrible addiction. It really is.
Oh, it is.
When you start having, again, the number of problems that we had, and it's not like they're me making stupid mistakes or, you know, it's just, we're just really bad luck. And some of it was, you know, not having to make this stuff right, but other right. times it was just really stupid stuff that you couldn't predict.
Yep.
And, you know, you really just start wondering about yourself and you really get down. Like, this is just crazy. What am I doing? I'm spending all this money. My sponsors are spending all this money. I'm letting all these people down. And then you go out there and run well, and you're like, I'm the king of the world. This is great. I'm going to race for 20 more years. you get that fix of running right.
Yep.
I mean, there's just no feeling like the feeling when everything is perfect.
And I'll tell you, I watched the highlights of the feature Saturday. I watched them this afternoon. On the highlights were posted on Facebook. And BJ did start on a pole. I think you led every lap or most every lap, but he was under duress every lap. It wasn't a case where you started on a pole and just, you know, you were gone and nobody was near you. You were under pressure between Alex Bright and Steven Dravicki the entire race. Even
they were saying to me from the initial green, I had probably about a 4 or 5 car length lead by the time we got to halfway, and then the first caution came out.
Yeah,
and then after that. I mean, I could hear him on both sides of me at that point. And that's kind of, well, when the first yellow came out and I looked up at the board and I saw the 19 was there, I said, okay, well, now we're going to find out how good we are.
Right, because Dravicki had won the first race there earlier in the year.
Right, and once we saw that we were going to be on the pole, I said to Dad, you know, I really don't think I want to make any changes to the car. The car is really good. So I don't want to make any changes there, and we're a little bit questionable on the gear. And I think, I said, starting on the pole, I just kind of want to try and sucker punch them and run away and hide as fast as I can.
Right.
And just try and run away and hope that they never catch me and hope there's never a yellow.
Right.
And so up until halfway, I didn't hear anybody. I didn't see right. anybody. I
but
didn't,
you don't know how far in front you are.
So when we got that yellow, I looked up and, yeah, you know, this is going to determine how good we are. And like an idiot, I tried to protect myself getting into one rather than running the line that got me where I was.
Right.
And I bobbled up a little bit, and Dravicki got underneath me. We drive race down the 3 and 4, and you can see in the video, he had me.
Yeah, he passed you at one point, and you got him back.
He had me.
Yep.
If he just let the car drift up, you know, you might be talking to him instead of me.
Yep.
But I, you know, got up. Back up on a cushion there and put the foot down, and then that was the last time I saw him. And then we got the red, and I looked up, and then I saw the 77 was there. I said, well, if he gets a chance like that, he's not going to let it go. He's going to make sure he drifts it up and make sure he takes the line away. And this time I made sure I hit my actual mark, and just getting to the halfway point of the backstretch, you got underneath me. And I've given the kid an inch before, and he's taken 2 or 3 wins away from me. So I made sure I made the hole as small as possible, getting down in the 3 where if he didn't let off, we were probably going to get together. But we never touched, and he gave me the room that I needed. I gave him just enough room
yep.
to not pinch him into the wall.
Yep.
And we got out of clean and pulled a little bit of a wheelie and took off and won it.
Yep. And finishing second was Alex Bright, and then third was Dravicki. Yeah, Alex was on the show back around Chili Bowl time.
I don't remember which Chili Bowl time, but
yeah,
it was a good race, man. I mean, I was listening to your podcast last week, and just talking. And I'm sorry, I forget the guy's name, the promoter. But one of the things you were saying about was like it's really hard to please the fans, and being on the Board of Governors, that's one of the things that you worry about is, man, I hope we just don't have a runaway show and there's no passing or anything else.
Right.
So, you know, the driver part of me is thrilled that...
Yeah, you don't want any...
And the, you know, Board of Governors guy, in the back of my mind, now that the race is over, is thrilled that it happened the way that it did.
Right.
Because, you know, we got to see some power. We got to see some pats into the back.
Yep.
It came down to it. It was a dogfight with three guys for the win.
Yeah.
And it, back to me as a driver, it kind of validates everything that we did in the off season to beat the two best guys, or two of the best guys in the club and one of the best guys in the country.
Right, yeah. I mean, Alex is one of the brightest midget stars going right now as far
Alex
as the
Bright
countrywide.
Is one of the brightest.
Exactly, nice. Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right.
Magic
to
pen.
Beat them makes it special.
Magic pen.
I mean, how
yep.
how tough is it to, you know, you already said that, you know, you're beginning to have that self-doubt creeping in there. You've had so much trouble over the last several seasons. How difficult is it as you're working down through those final laps? You know that the top is where you need to be, and you don't want to open that inside lineup too much. How hard is it to not come down to the bottom and overthink yourself and then think yourself out of getting what ended up being a win?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened that first yellow when Dravicki got underneath me. I thought to myself, all right, I know I'm good up here, so they're really going to have to be really good to go through. I mean, I was driving through ruts like crazy. The track was in decent shape, but for, like, the modifieds and all. But for us, even just a little bit of a bump is a pretty decent-sized rut.
Right, sure.
And there was, like, a sweet spot that I could just kind of run through, and it was nice. So I figured, they're probably not running up there, so they're going to have to be really good, so I'm just going to go down the bottom. And when I went down there, I hit a rut and bobbled up, and he got underneath me. So then when we had the red, I was talking to myself for a while, and when I saw it was Alex, I said, well, Alex isn't going to be running on the bottom. If I give him a chance at the top, he's going to blow in there on the top. So I know I got to go up there. And I said, if I just hit my mark like I have done for the last 17 laps, he's going to have to be really, really, really good on the bottom. And I didn't really think that the bottom through the middle was as good as what I was pulling off on the top. And I think that red really helped me with that. Because then I thought about four or five other races that I've lost with a lap to go where I try to protect the line that I had instead of running the line that I ran the last 20 laps or something like that.
Right.
Stevens, Buck Waters beat me a couple of times just kind of sneaking around the outside or taking the line that I had that because I was trying to protect. My rookie season, Ray Bull beat me coming off a four for what would have been my first win because I did the same thing. So yeah, over time, you kind of have to just trust your instincts of this is what got me where I was. I got to stay here. If I move, I'm going to lose it. And,
John,
fortunately, that paid off.
John, the part that he left out was under the red flag. It also gave him opportunity to contact track security, and the guy three rows up wearing Green Bay Packers shirt was escorted off the property.
Now back to that green thing. What do you do when they actually?
What are you doing wearing green?
What do you do when they actually wave the flag to start the race?
Close your eyes.
you're running away from it, right?
Oh,
green is running away as fast as you can. Well, then you see the red flag, you slow down, you stop, like, oh, okay, well, there's red, everything's okay. I don't have to run so fast now.
That's a great answer.
Perfect.
Oh, my God.
Well, almost anything, guys.
Oh, my God.
I can find a way around it.
Oh, jeez.
I like it.
That is funny.
The other thing guys always say to me is, like, oh, well, money's green.
Yep.
And I actually went to the track. I paid with one of those new $100 bills, which is actually kind of like a blue.
Yep.
That kind of feeds into it, too. I'm really not trying to make myself out to be a crazy person. I'm bringing it up. I can't help myself. I'm a little
tired. You're not crazy. You're just a typical racer.
Everybody understands exactly where you're coming from.
Yep. So you got the win on your belt. Now you headed into a fairly busy weekend. You guys race your third race of the year. Now will be tomorrow night at Big Diamond, and then of course Grandview. Sunday at Grandview. You got Twin 25. So you got a busy weekend ahead. Are you ready?
Yeah, we are. I'm actually, when you call, I'm out here in the garage, and I have my. My itemized two-page checklist of things to go through, so I'm just going over everything to make sure everything's right.
Yep.
And looking over my old notes. And both tracks we've been quick at. Big Diamond makes me nervous only because last year was the first time I finished a race there in about 7 years.
Wow.
So that I don't know what it is about that place, but that's where we usually have something really stupid happen.
Yeah.
It was something like a 13 13 race streak where we didn't finish a race there. We broke that last year, which was just finishing that damn race felt like a victory.
Right.
Finally, we finished a race at Diamond. But it's a place where we've been good. I've led a lot of laps there, and just have always had something stupid happen. So we're hoping now that we're organized and together, we won't have that issue. And Grandview, in the fall race there, I led up until about halfway, and I think it was Kobler's got me, and then not long after that was Stevie Buckwater, and they didn't totally run away at Hyde. I was kind of with them, but I wasn't as good through the middle as they were.
Right.
And I just kind of watched them float away. So both tracks are places that we like. They, well, the club puts on a great show there. Anytime we're at Diamond, we're at least 3, if not 4 wide for a good part of the race.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
It's just, that place is just, well, both of them, there and Grandview, are just really built for midgets.
Yep.
And, you know, club board of governors, Gargiulo, is kind of coming out now. That's part of what the idea was about the schedule for this year, to try and put us back on some of these tracks that are more suited for the midgets.
Right.
Because, you know, if you go onto YouTube and look at some of the midget shows, the ARDC shows at Diamond and Grandview, we're just all over the place.
Yep.
And not all over the place, like scattered like a bunch of, you know, a bunch of squirrels. But
right.
I mean, you look on a racetrack and there's cars everywhere. Yep. On the top or in the middle or on the top. There's guys going from the top to the middle to the bottom. Just, I mean, there's just racing everywhere.
Yep.
Whether the leaders run away or not, there's good racing everywhere.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I've seen several of your guys' shows over the years at both of those facilities. So you're right. They're very racy for midget racing. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's and it'll be a good preview for when the Eastern Storm comes in. That's always a good week for us too, which is only about 2 weeks away.
Yeah, you guys are with them what 4 nights I think this year, right?
Yeah, 4 nights. You want to test me on which ones? I think it's Grandview, Egypt, Port, and Susquehanna. I think that's right.
Yep.
So and those are all tracks that we run decent at. So
right.
This whole schedule this year really plays into our hands, and really just the entire club. We all put on a good show when we go to these places. So
well, let me ask you. You had mentioned that your first win was 6 years ago. Where was that? Where'd you get your first win?
That was at Susquehanna Speedway Park.
Okay, all right.
And at that time, the tracks. Not that the track is different, but the surface has kind of changed a little bit. And back then, there was a very distinct bottom and a very distinct top. And every now and then, you would be able to catch something through the middle.
Yep.
Well, that night, I was able to catch something through the middle. And the leader was on the far bottom. And I was kind of just trying to set him up to get him off of, like, off of 2 or off of 4. And then Andy Martin, who is our 2-time defending champion from the time.
Yep.
Got up around me on the outside, like, oh, well, he's going to run away and hide. But then he never did. And then the two of them started kind of fighting. And I just, the whole time, I'm sitting there, and there's this huge gap in the middle. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to get around either one of them unless I try something different. And
right.
We literally had a 3-way, 3-wide battle for the lead for like 3 or 4 laps. And then I finally got the run I needed off of 2 to get Tracy Redinger, then buried it in the 3 and 4 to finish off Andy Martin, and did it 2 or 3 laps to go in, and that was it for that one. That was a big deal for us. I mean, I've been watching the midgets since I was a little tyke. I lived not that far from Ciccone's auto body and the race shop. My dad and my crew chief both had worked for Ciccone and worked for the race cars and helped them out at IRP when Thursday Night Thunder was going on. So watching the midgets and being part of the midgets has just been a really big part of who I am and who our race team is. This is something that we always wanted to do.
Sure.
So to pick up our first win in the midget was just an absolutely epic accomplishment for everything I ever built up to. Next to being in a 410 sprinter, you know, winning at Williams Group, that would be the next most elite thing that I could possibly do. I don't think that's in the cards to be running the sprinter at 35, almost 36 years old now.
Well, you never say never.
You never know. Well, I'm not saying I don't want to get in one. I just don't know that I'll be able to, with the limited amount of time that I have between work and raising a family and all everything else that happens in a normal person's life, the focus that I think is required to run at that level, whether it be a modified or a 410 sprinter, to be just to run at a competitive level, I think you need a lot more time and devotion to what you need to do.
Yep.
But this works for me right now.
Nice.
You got the Grove coming up. If I went at the Grove with this, that would be a big deal. There in Grandview would still be a big deal to us.
That's cool. That's cool.
Well, we'll have it back. We'll have it back on next week.
At any time. Well, back to our superstition thing here. There's some sort of record that you guys are holding about guys that come on a show on Thursday night, win the next night.
We have done very, very well.
Surprisingly high.
Why, I don't know, but we've done very well of having a guest, and then they go out within a week or two and win. Right after being on a show.
Listen, PJ, it's not anything that we advertise. It's not something that we say, okay, now you're going to go out and win. Right. It's just, it's like, hey,
it's
that was
for some
that
reason
kind of cool.
Happened that way. We've been very lucky and fortunate that way. But
no, we haven't been lucky at all. As the guys
Chris brought up a good point, though, when we were first coming on the air.
What did I say?
That you
don't torment
unusually
PJ.
Won prior to coming on the show.
we hope
we didn't get that out of the way already.
John.
Because now we want you to win after, too.
We put together John's.
Well, you said you wanted me on the show. I was like, this guy's got a pretty good record. I think I'll take that call. I think I'll take the call to take this week.
Well, you know, we certainly wish you the best, and going forward, I'm hoping that we talk to you again soon. And certainly, if you're around in a couple Thursdays from now, we'll make that phone call again.
Yeah, that sounds good. With any kind of luck, we'll come out of both races clean this week, and again, just try and build some momentum for that USAC swing because the end of May and then June, that's like a big chunk of our schedule. Getting through June is a big chunk. So
yep.
If we can score up a couple of top five and top three finishes, if I can pick out wins, that'd be fantastic. But
got to keep those old gloves around.
Here, I just want to build on my momentum and get through the better part of June with some really good results and kind of build up some points base to try and make a run at the end of the year.
Yep.
We always seem to come on real strong from like September and October, like late August and October, we always seem to come on strong. So if we can
start out of the box
like that and finish stronger, then we might be able to give Alex and Vicky and the other guys a little bit of a run here at the end of the year.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we want to give you a minute to thank whoever you got to thank, sponsors, help, all that stuff. Throw whatever plugs you want out while you got the chance.
Well, as you guys might be able to tell, I like to talk, so it might be another 45 minutes. my wife, she's the best. she lets me do this stuff. She kind of had a choice. She's really great and really supportive. My entire family is just epic when it comes to this stuff. But my Uncle James, he helps us out considerably. Anytime we need something, it's just a quick phone call, and he's there to do whatever he can for us. My dad, naturally, if it wasn't for him, none of this would even be here, and it probably wouldn't mean as much to me as it does. Church's Auto Parts is Spurs Fuel Oil. Spurs has been with me since I was probably 10 or 12 years old, and Church's Auto Parts, there isn't a bolt on this car that doesn't come from them. Fuel, anything that I need for the car, for the truck, they help us out with. I'm walking around the car, see who else I'm missing. John Malasakis, who's our crew chief, he's fantastic. Charlie and Jane Pistorio, I could go on for hours. Tom Frischetta Fabrication, there's so many people, I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but the really big ones are my uncle, my family, and everyone who's ever supported and believed in this. That there's literally way too many people to thank that have been part of this whole operation for the last several years that has told me not to give up when we had all these problems going on. So I thank every single one of them and appreciate everything I've ever learned at Shellhammer Speedway and the little go-kart tracks. Your guy last week was talking about a bunch of modified guys that are coming from karts and, like, working their way up to the sportsman class or whatever.
Right.
There's a lot of guys I ran karts with that are doing really well today. And some of them being, like, Sam Hornish, Ryan Hunter Ray. I used to race with both of those guys.
Nice.
And then Dougie Mann-Miller, Van Horn, Jimmy Burns, a bunch of guys that are running today and running really well.
Yep.
We all contribute to the go-karts. So if you're not running currently, you're just a fan, but you got a kid who's interested, get him in a go-kart, get him in a quarter midget, get him in something.
Yep.
It'll all keep him out of trouble, and you might be talking to these cool guys on a Thursday night.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
I don't know what cool guy.
I know. Before I let you go, I know I was when I saw that you had won Saturday night. I was happy for you because, you know, I got the pleasure of meeting you a little bit, a couple times working for ARDC last year, and I think you're a good guy. So I was glad that you won the race.
I got your food. thanks, man. I really appreciate it. My phone was blown up on the way home.
I'm sure
my
it was.
I was like, damn, what's the matter with your phone? And people sending me messages. It was like an hour and a half ride home, and my phone, like every 5 minutes, something was bleeping. It was really cool to see how many people really keep an eye on us, and whether they see us every week or not. And that's what I mean by there's way too many people to thank. It's just,
yep.
We got a pretty good base of people that genuinely want to see us run well, and it's very, very, very appreciated.
No problem, man. We appreciate you having you take the time out of your evening. I know you're getting ready for the weekend, so we appreciate you taking time out of the evening to come on the show, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend. And one last thought before you head out. Are you headed to Tulsa in January or no?
We will see. We will see. This is the first time I've ever missed going out.
Yeah.
This would have been my 14th year going out. And I had a work commitment. Basically, my staff, I had some vacancies, and I would have been the only person left. And my VP wasn't real keen on me not being around.
Right.
So that was the main reason I didn't go out this year. I hope to at least go out to have fun out there.
Yep.
I would say if we finish off the year in one piece, I'm pretty sure we'll be out there and running.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
so early.
Once we get down to that time of the year, I'll touch base with you, see if you're going or not. But
yes, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, do me a favor. Just put it in like one of those plastic bins or like a mason jar or something on a desk, and every time someone says something about green or about anything stupid, just put like 25 cents in there. Anytime right. You hear something about superstition, just walk around the pits, set up like a PJ Guardiola Chili Bowl charity fund.
Fun, yep. You got it.
Penny by penny, I'm not sure. I'll take
anything. I don't blame you.
All right, guys.
All right, man. We appreciate it.
Time.
Thanks.
You got it. Have a good night.
Take care.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
Yep. You bet. See you, man.
Bye now.
That was fun.
Green, green, green.
Boy, don't bring up green. And when you dig out old gloves, you win.
What's that stupid video game we both got where the guy goes, green, green, green?
Yeah,
what is that one?
Saturday Night Speedway, yeah. Or was it? I think it was Saturday Night Speedway.
One of them was.
Something like that.
Green, green, green.
PJ appearing courtesy of D'Amico Chrysler Dodge Jeep. We're just about out of people in the chat room. There's nobody there. Hall of Fame inductions were this weekend. Bill Elliott, Rex White, Wendell Scott,
Fred Lorenzen,
all going into the Hall of Fame. There's a fifth guy. I can't remember his name.
I saw that, Wendell Scott's going in.
That was cool. That dude was, I think he was the most appreciative of anybody that I've ever seen go into the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I mean, that he was.
That's deserved.
He was genuinely proud, I guess is the word. I mean, he was touched, man. Yeah. It was cool. He had his family and stuff there. It was neat. Nice. Then seeing all the old footage and stuff of him racing, it was pretty cool.
Yep. Yep. Remember they made a movie about his story.
They did.
I know I saw it years ago, but I can't remember what the name of it was. But I do remember that movie. That's good for him. I'm glad.
Fred Lorenzen, they interviewed him. and Fred Lorenzen was there. He was inducted. Yep. The first guy from outside the good old boys group from Chicago, a little different approach. And he retired at the age of 33 or something crazy like that.
I know a lot of guys did that back then. It's crazy.
He said he was just tired of living his life in hotels.
Yeah.
And he had 25 some wins and his career was quite short, but boy, he was successful.
Yep.
So it was interesting there. Still waiting on the 100th winner in the ranks of the NHRA. Spencer Massey, Robert Height picking up wins in top field and funny court. Jake Coughlin in pro stock. Eddie Krawick winning in pro stock motorcycle.
Yep, saw that. They're on again this weekend, too. They're in... Yeah. Oh, shoot.
I don't remember. There's I got the DVR set up. There's a lot of TV. Remember. There's a lot of action on TV. Obviously, Indy 500 and the 600.
Busy.
We've got NHRA this weekend, and we've also got Belmont on Saturday.
Yeah, and of course, one of the premier races in Formula One is the Monaco Grand Prix. That's Monaco's Sunday morning. You know, that's one of their pinnacle races is Monaco. So all the Hollywood seems to go to that race. To the
Danica Monaco was the round two qualifying leader, by the way. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Kyle Larson was 2/1000ths of a second for making it to the second round of qualifying. Looks like he's going to start 25th on Sunday night.
Yeah, because they're qualifying right now. Yep.
It's got to be just about wrapped up now. Just, I mean, we're an hour and 10 minutes into this thing right now. Great conversation with PJ.
Yes, PJ was great. That was great. That was some good stuff.
He kept every time he said green. I noticed the light on the wall was turning green too. I'm like, really?
Isn't it funny though with drivers and their superstitions? And
we're not talking to ourselves.
I can relate because just as a fan, I'm same way. You know,
right?
In some aspects, like I remember, you know, and Jack being a Jack Johnson fan my whole life, and Jack's heyday when he was winning a lot. Like I would, you know, I attend a race and he'd win that night. That shirt I was wearing after the next damn race because
were you in the pits telling him, I wore this shirt the last 2 weeks and you won both times?
No, I didn't do that.
No, that's a good decision.
It's funny because when I was younger, teenager and stuff, I was shy. I didn't go into pits and talk to drivers. Like I always was one of those kids that stood off in the back and just kind of watched for a few minutes and then you went on your way, you know. I was too shy and didn't talk to people then, but now you just can't shut me up.
That's for sure.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
I think we touched them all.
Yeah, it's a busy, busy racing weekend all over the country this weekend.
Yep.
Any holiday weekend, Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July, it's always busy, busy, busy.
It's the quote-unquote kickstart, as it were, you know, a little bit, trying to get everybody up.
Yeah, getting geared up for summertime.
Yep.
I was looking at the Sprint Car Fantasy League schedule today and looking at the races, just the Sprint Car schedule this weekend from like tomorrow through Monday, there's like 22 races.
Jeez.
That's just the Sprint Car schedule.
Right.
And the modified schedule, there's another 14 or 15 or something like that. So come Tuesday, oh, good Lord.
Yeah, there's gonna be some shakeups.
I'm gonna have a lot of stuff to do.
Yep.
But it's all good. I do it because I like it. It's fun. It's a good time.
Well, we'll be able to talk about it next week. You got all these races coming up. The standings.
Yeah,
we'll have
plenty to talk about.
The standings at this point don't mean anything because they're gonna change. They're gonna change completely.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. Big time. Well, the modified standings, I mean, the Dale show on Tuesday, that was a double point show. So that really shuffled up some. And then all the racing that goes this weekend, and then Monday's capper is the Utica Rome
Victoria
200 lapper there. That's a double point show. So there's two double point shows within like 5 days or whatever it is.
Sure.
And so that's really going to shuffle the standings up big time over that week-long period.
Right.
So a lot of racing left.
Lots.
Lots to talk about next week because there is a lot of stuff happening.
It's going
to
be a busy Thursday. Make sure you're back here. I think that's going to do it for us this time around. I got to go home and start packing up stuff. We got to get ready for Ohio early tomorrow morning.
So where are you going in Ohio?
Washington Courthouse.
Where's that?
Ohio. It's on the other side.
I gathered
it's
that.
Clear, it's clear on the west side of Ohio. So we got about a had a little bit of a drive across the state, but we're going out there. We'll be out there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with Crash Course Podcast, and everybody on Finger Lakes 1 is taking Monday off. The Sauce is off and Crash Course is off because we're going to be busy with 1, 2, 3, possibly 4, 5, possibly maybe up to 6 shows live from at the grounds on Saturday.
So when's your last day of broadcasting? On Monday?
Sunday night.
Sunday.
Yeah, so Sunday after Monday. The features. We'll drive all night Sunday so that we can at least spend a little bit of time with our families on the holiday weekend on Monday.
Sleeping?
No, I don't think so. I mean, generally when we travel, we try and rotate it around so everybody gets a chance to get a little bit of sleep.
How many people will be going with you?
We'll have 3 in my vehicle.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not driving alone.
Right.
I've done,
it's not just
I did
you
that
or
drive
you
alone.
One other person.
I did that drive alone from here all the way to Champaign, Illinois one time, 14 hours, and then I tried to do it back, and I ended up stopping somewhere between the edge of Ohio and the edge of New York and the middle of Pennsylvania, and I had to stop. I couldn't make it back.
I can relate.
Trying to Ironman it, man. I'm just too old for that stuff now.
When that year I went to Knoxville.
Nothing, huh?
In 2009, you're not that old, I get it. When I went to Knoxville for the Knoxville Nationals in 2009, I drove out there for that whole 10-day span by myself. And it was like 16 hours one way.
Yeah.
All
driving
by yourself.
Out, driving out wasn't as bad.
Yeah, it's coming
home. It was driving home after the features, trying to get out of there Sunday
night.
And right. I tried to pinch pennies and sleep in my car on the side of the road.
I did the same thing on the way home from Knoxville.
And it was so cold. And I'm so cheap when I travel that I wasn't going to have that car running. I wasn't burning that tank of gas. You know what I mean? So
what time of year was it?
It was April.
Oh,
it was April.
Okay.
April of 2013. So it was still chilly out. Yeah. It was cold. So I'm like, all right, so if I'm cold, I'm awake. I tried driving. I got like 50 feet down the road and I was like cruising through the rumble strip.
Over, yeah.
And I got to do something here. This isn't going to work.
I did the same thing coming home from Knoxville because the year I went, the race.
I was scaring deer.
I planned on coming home Sunday morning, but the race rained out on Saturday, so they ran it Sunday night.
Right.
So now I'm like, well, I've been down here for like 10 or 11 days. I got to get the frick home, you know? Because by then you're
now
tired.
Now it's time to go home.
You're tired. You're spent. You just want to go home now.
Yeah,
you know?
And you're alone.
I mean, I was by myself. Right.
So what do you do during the day? I mean, you've got a hotel room for a week.
I
get it.
I left as soon as the checkered flag waved on the A-Main of the Knoxville Nationals, I was getting out of my seat and I already had my crap ready to go that I had in the stands with me. And I just ran to the car, beat all the traffic out, got on the road, and I was out of there and the cars are pulling into the pits, you know?
Right.
So
I can still hear the victory lane interview.
Yeah, you know? And I was right on the road and I was out of there and I did. I drove home that Sunday night and same thing. I got in the middle of
Ohio's.
Somewhere in the middle of Illinois, I think I was, and it was wee hours in the morning. I'm like, I got to pull over. I slept for, you know, 2-3 hours in the rest area, whatever, and woke back up and then took off and drove some more. And it's a long, long drive home.
I was driving home from Malone one time, and the Derby got over with pretty late, and I was riding with somebody. And it's a Saturday. There's nothing going on the next day, and it's a 6-hour drive home. From Malone, and we're doing it overnight. So our plan is we're probably going to be home between 4 and 6 a.m., depending on how bad the ride goes. We get out of Malone, and we jump on 11, I think, that ends up coming across the top of the state and back over to 81. It goes through Canton and Potsdam and all that.
Yeah.
I look over. He grabs the lever on the seat, kicks that seat back, goes right to sleep. What are you doing?
Don't you love that?
So
sounds like the missus. She does that shit.
So we're on 81 between Watertown and Brewerton, and I zip off on the side of the road and just stop for a minute. And all of a sudden, slams himself forward in the seat, whips the seat up, looks around, and goes, "Are we back home already?" Nope.
No, we're not.
Nope. And I mean, and it's, there's no street lights. There's nothing. It's just a little chicane on the side of the road for you to pull off on. Stopped there for a minute, walked around, and got back in the car. We're going down the road. We're maybe 5 minutes back out of the road, and I hear, there goes the seat again. Back out.
Jesus Christ.
Wonderful traveling.
Yeah, nice. You gotta love it.
Yep.
So before we sign off, let's throw out there Big Block Super Dirt Car Series begins this soon. Coming week.
May 28th.
It's what, in, Wednesday or
Brockville,
Tuesday
Ontario
or
Speedway.
Wednesday, I think it is.
Yeah.
The 28th at Brockville. So, you know, those of you modified Super Dirt Series travelers, followers, they like to go to those races. Opening race of the 2014 Super Dirt Series.
Want to go to a fun track out of town.
We'll open up.
Brockville's a fun one.
Yep. I've seen a lot of videos from there. I've not been there yet, but seen a lot of video footage over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a fun little place.
Fun place.
Absolutely.
Very much so. Yep. Tours. All the tours. Winding up. Really
going to be going to be an interesting season on the Super Dirt Series trail because there's a lot of guys that are supposed to be following this year. I think you're going to see more followers than than we've seen in a long time, if not ever. There's going to be, I mean, there's the possibility of upwards of over 20 drivers following full time.
That'd be great.
And I don't think we've ever had that, ever. Not even in its heyday. The most we've ever had is probably 12 to 15.
Hmm.
We've not, I don't think they've ever had over 20.
You're right. You're right, because we're so saturated here where we are, we see so many of those drivers so frequently. And when the tour comes, you see them again, you kind of automatically pair them with that tour. But you're right. I mean, in terms of some of these further away at large shows, that you don't get that same, you don't get that same group of drivers.
Back in its heyday, you know, when you had the Brightbills and all the all three Johnsons and Brett and Horton and
Bob McCready.
You know, McCready and whoever, you know, there were a lot of guys, your Tremont, stuff like that. Those guys would go to all the races, but not everybody from this region. Like when they went, you know, they used to run in the past, they might maybe went to Williams Grove or Grandview. There used to be a Swing, maybe a Susky. You know, you get those PA guys, but a lot of guys that wouldn't run the races here in this region, they didn't go that far.
Right.
So that's when some of those guys would fall off the deal. They're supposedly, you know, obviously time will tell once the series gets going. But,
that's for sure. Time will tell.
There's seems to be a lot of interest from a lot of followers that we haven't seen in the past.
Very true. So, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too.
But I think
all right.
I think we've touched them all now, right?
I think so.
It's going to do it for this week. We're going to be back again next Thursday. Hopefully we'll be talking to PJ Gargiulo again.
Yes.
Be fun, right?
Yes. I'd love to. He was great. He was a great guest.
And then it'll be the day after the modified tour opener as well. That'll be Wednesday, and then we'll get back on the 29th.
Yeah, we can talk about that race.
Lots to touch on. Lots to touch on next week. So
everybody have a safe and happy holiday, and remember your military. Certainly.
Definitely.
That's what this holiday is about.
For sure. A lot of people are going to need some help tomorrow and going through the weekend.
Yep.
So be there, support those guys, and remember the people that paid it all.
Yes.
That's going to do it for us. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time.